Good evening. Wasn't that good this morning? Yeah? The sermon was awesome. The music was great. We tried to keep them, but I guess they have jobs to go back to. And I guess it was convicting with their whole sermon this morning. So maybe if we would have preached, you know, stay at grace or something like that. Oh, well, it was good anyway. All right. And so great to have you all here tonight. We've got quite a bit ahead of us. It's nice to have the Bruners with us tonight, and they'll be presenting their ministry again and refreshing us on what God is doing there. And I wanted to be able to give you these announcements, and then we will pray and get going with the rest of it this evening. So let's go ahead and go through the announcements again. Right after this evening's service, we will have that special business meeting with the church membership. So please, if you are members, please stay behind and enjoy the meeting that we're going to be having. And if you didn't get what we are doing, the agenda, that was out on the table there for you to be able to see. And so that way you could prepare yourself and be in prayer for that. As far as everything else, at the end of this week, we do have outreach training and outreach on Saturday. So please be a part of that. A lot of normal things that's going on during this week, midweek service. But on Wednesday, there is something a little bit different in that we are having our Financial Peace University crash course. It's all seven baby steps in one. So it starts at 5:45. So I would just introduce you to think about maybe coming a little bit earlier if you're coming to that. That way you didn't just come in right as soon as it starts. Because I don't have control over that. This is a live stream. Okay? So it's going to start at 5:45, whether you're late or not. Okay? So just come on a little bit earlier and be a part of that, 5:45 to 8:30. We still have the rest of the regular things going on. So teen group's still going. We still have our King's Kids. We still have the adult prayer and Bible study. So please don't miss out on that. But if you want to be a part of that FPU, please connect with me. That way I can prepare for that and be ready. It's going to be exciting. I think I've got about 25 people that's going to be back there for that. And again, like I said this morning, most of them don't go to this church, which is really cool. So it's kind of a little outreach event, too. So that is going up this week. We do have, again, the Christmas gathering. If you haven't gotten your ticket, please do so. I think Joan said that it was 33 that signed up this morning. So please get signed up for that. That would be awesome. $6 per meal there for the tickets there. That'll be on December 5th at 6:30 p.m. But don't miss our pie and praise service. That's going to be coming up the week of Thanksgiving. Instead of a Wednesday service, we will be moving that to Tuesday. And so please come on out for that. That'll be good. And if you haven't made your vote for which kind of pie you enjoy to eat, please do so. Write your name in there and then put a little vote as to which pies you like to eat. And again, like I said, you don't have to bring them. You just get to eat them. Okay? It's such an enjoyment right there. All right? Amen? Amen. I was a little weak, but oh well. Too much food last night, huh? And then as a reminder, the petition's still on the back table. This is probably your last time to be able to sign up for that as far as against the sale of recreational marijuana within Taylorville. So please do so. Sign up for that. Again, with the meeting, we believe it's going to be happening this Thursday. So if you can provide a presence for that at the ordinance meeting, please do so. That would be awesome to be able to have as many people as we possibly can. If it changes last minute, we will try to communicate that to you as best as we can. But then also the shoe boxes at the back, there's still plenty of empty ones. So if you'd like to fill those up and then give the $9 for the shipping as well, that would be awesome. I think that's it as far as all the things that I'm supposed to be saying here. So let's go ahead and pray. And then we'll get to the rest of our service. Dear Lord, thank you so much again. What a blessing we can be here tonight. And we have the freedoms. We've got missionaries all over the place that don't have Sunday services, Sunday evening services in that regard, or can't. Just thinking of the Bowers in Haiti and just all that they're going through. God, and the title of their latest update is, "We're Still Alive." Praise God that they are. God, help us to never take this for granted. Freedom that we have. The awesome power of your name to be able to praise, to lift up, to worship you. God, and we get to do that together as a church. We praise you for all that you are. We thank you for the Bruners being able to be here tonight with us. Thank you that we get to be a part of their ministry and all that you're doing there. All for your name. God, help us to sing with everything that we've got here tonight and listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us as we...
Could you make a list? Could you write them all down? Thank you.
Prepare to take our offering for tonight. And as they're coming, let's once again say our verse together for this month. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Proverbs 19:11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for once again the opportunity that we have to worship you through our giving. We have the opportunity to give and be like you because you gave. God, I pray that our giving would be an honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yes, I'm sorry about that. How many of you need a love offering envelope for tonight? I did not get that at the beginning. Okay, they're going to go ahead and pass out those envelopes. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take up our offering.
Did you have a secret place when you was a kid? Growing up, under the stairway at grandma's house, or a secret spot? Now, as adults, we can still have a secret place. Such a great, great idea. Such a great thought. Page 147, let's sing the song. It tells us, reminds us, this is my Father's world.
So hopefully you've had a chance to shake Kevin and Mary's hand. Good to have you guys back. And we're just going to turn over the rest of the service now to Kevin and whatever you have in store for us. Yes, we'll do the video first. Absolutely.
Thank you.
is going to come up. Kevin, we have some cards here from various groups within our church for you and your wife.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back here. Appreciate your prayers for us. Of course, we didn't really plan this time to be back. What happened was about a year and a half ago, we started realizing Mary's parents, of course, there's three girls in her family and all three are missionaries in Asia. So every other year or so, they take a trip to Asia. But we started seeing, especially Mom, was getting to the place where it was going to be harder and harder for her to take a trip to Asia. So we decided we'd come back for the month of July and just spend time with her parents and my parents. And that was before we realized the condition Mom would be in. But last November, they started noticing things that her balance was bad and she fell a number of times, and they were trying to do various tests to find out what the problem was. And finally, last March, she was diagnosed with ALS at Mayo Clinic. And so that's looking online, that looked like it was going to be 2 to 5 years, they say, is the lifespan of someone that gets ALS once they've been diagnosed. So we were concerned about that because we knew that she was going to need a lot of care. And didn't know how all that would work out, but the Lord saw fit to take her home early. So the process went really fast. We came back in July just for a visit, but we realized that Mary needed to stay back and help her mom. So I went back alone in July 30th and was over there until October 1st. I came back again, and we'll be here until December 31st. Mom Blair passed into heaven on October 31st of just a month ago or so. So we praise the Lord that she knew the Lord. She's in heaven rejoicing, and the pain and hardship is over. She'd had a lot of pain for many years. She had bad problems with arthritis. She had back surgery a couple years ago. So she's been in pain for a long time. ALS really doesn't give you pain, but that was a side effect of all those other problems that she had had. But basically, it takes away all the nerves that control the muscles until your muscles all die. And finally, your diaphragm muscles die so you can't breathe. So that's how it's a hard way to go. But we praise the Lord that that didn't last too long. So, but thank you for your prayers. And I think the gospel really went out for her funeral, and that was a blessing. And it was a blessing that, my in-laws, they were willing to give all their kids to missions. And there were some Christmases that they were alone, some Thanksgivings that they spent alone. But even though we're all way over in Asia, the Lord brought us all back, and all of us were there when she passed. So, and all of us will be there until the end of the year. So God's gracious to us, and we rejoice in his goodness. But things are going great in the Philippines. We're, Lord willing, we'll be planting a church this coming year there in Himaao. It's been a long time coming. We've been working there for about 5 years, trying to build a foundation for a work there. Now we have three people from that area that are members at Calvary, and they're teaching Sunday school and doing other parts of the ministry. So they're well trained to go and help us plant the work in Himaao. So Himaao isn't really a long distance from Calvary, but it's just several rides to get there. So it's very hard for people to get there, and there's no work being done there. So a work needs to be started there. So we're excited about that. So you saw some pictures of that, and pray for that as we do weekly Bible studies there. I'm working with a man named William there. He's been saved. He's not yet come to church, but he likes the Bible study. I believe he's growing in the Lord. His wife is working abroad at this time, but she'll be coming back in February. So pray that his wife, whose name is May, will come to know the Lord soon as well. While I was back for the 2 months, I was doing Bible studies with William, and one day I was able to share with his son, who's I think sixth grade, 12 years old. And he came to know the Lord that day. And William was so excited to see his son get saved. So just pray for William and his family that they will begin growing in the Lord. And they'll be part of that work once we get it going in Hima'au. And before we had left back in June, we were doing a youth activity in that area of Hima'au, and we went out soul winning, and Mary and I went out with one of the young people, and then some other young people went out, and we came across one house, and there was a lady there, and a young lady, and we went in, and Mary shared the gospel with her, and she accepted the Lord, and we came to find out later that she is the sister-in-law of this William I'm talking about. So what a joy how the Lord is working in a great way like that. So their family name is William's family name is Loreno, and his wife's maiden name was Macapa. So you can pray for the Loreno family and the Macapas family. I've asked William, can I share with your siblings, with your parents? Oh yeah, I'd love you to do that. So I'm working to find a time when I can do that as well. And there's some other families that we're working there with in the Hima'au area. We have two of our members that are teachers in the high school there, so they're carrying on some Bible studies at the high school as well. And so just pray that the Lord will guide and direct as we plant that work in Hima'au. We need a place to meet still. We're trying to find a place to rent in the meantime because we can't find property that we can purchase and build on at this point. So we have the finances for that already. We just need the available land. A lot of the land is agricultural and can't be built on. And sometimes you come into a problem with the Catholic owners not wanting to sell for a Baptist church. So the Lord can work, and he worked in Kararoyan so that we could get that work going. Pray that he'll work in the same way in Hima'au for his glory. So pray for fruit, pray for solid families. We need some more solid families there, Lord willing, and for a place to rent and eventually to purchase, and for wisdom as we begin the work in Hima'au. So initially I'll be pastoring the two churches just like I did when we planted at Kararoyan. That's our plan. And then we have some men who are preaching while I'm gone. They'll be preaching while I'm preaching at one church, they'll preach at the other church, and we'll kind of go back and forth like that. And that's our plan for starting the work there in Hima'au. So thanks so much for your prayers. Pray as well for young men. I'm training several young men, trying to work with them. Since Mary had to stay here, I needed help to do the Bible studies, to teach values, and we're teaching values in public schools, and I always need someone to be with me for that. And because Mary wasn't there, I was able to enlist one of the young men that I've been working with, trying to see him grow, and he enjoys ministering. It's just he doesn't feel that he's gifted enough to do it. But because Mary wasn't with me, he was able to go with me to teach values. And after I taught 1 week or so, I said, why don't you work to teach at least in the one school? Can you just take that lesson for next week? Oh, Pastor, I can't. Oh, I said, you can do it. You can do it. You know the language better than I do. You're a Filipino. You'll do a great job. Will you pray about that? Oh, I'll pray about it, he said. But he did a great job the next week. And then I said, can you do it the next week? Yeah, I can. And he did better the next week still. That's how it works over there. You know, I'm not very gifted. What I do is I try to work with people, and pretty soon they're better than I am at what I'm trying to train them to do. And I say, you're doing so good. Just keep it up. So but it's a joy. It's just a joy to work with them. That's how I train song leaders. I teach them what I know, and they pretty soon they're doing it better than me. I say, you're doing just, that's just wonderful how you're doing that. Just keep up the good work. And so, Lord willing, John will see the Lord's hand on his life. John Daniel's parents are faithful members at Calvary, and they want their kids in the ministry. So it's a joy to see that. But pray that John will see that the Lord's directing him in that way. And actually, there's seven guys I'm praying for, and I'll just list them for you. Maybe you can take a note and pray for these young men to be directed into the ministry, because there's much work to be done. John Daniel is who I've been talking about. Then there's three brothers, Emerson, Nilo, and Jelson. And Emerson, Nilo, and Jelson, they've all preached and done a good job. We've trained them to preach, but they don't feel at this point led to go on for further training and go into the ministry. So pray for those guys to be willing to serve the Lord, and may the Lord work in their hearts in that way. Pray for Joshua. Joshua is an IT major, but he's expressed interest in possibly going to Bible school, and his dad would love to see that happen as well. And then for Monley and Tim, they're just young guys who are in high school that have much potential, and I could see that the Lord could have his hand on them. So pray for these young men. Pray for Pastor Ben. He's our pastor at Victorious Faith Baptist Church there in Carroyan. He's 28 years old, and he needs a good wife. So pray that the Lord will provide his need for a good wife. He knows he needs a good wife, but the Lord hasn't opened that door yet. And we sent a young lady to Bible school this last year. She wanted to go, and pray that maybe the Lord is directing in that way. Or there's others, good ladies training at Bible college. So pray that the Lord will direct in that way and give Pastor Ben a good helpmeet that will help him in the ministry. And so he's a very faithful, godly young man, and we have a great relationship between the two of us. And he's doing a great work at Victorious Faith. So pray for at The VOICE, VOICE stands for Values, Orientation, and Classroom Education. It's a values program we use in the public schools. And when we teach the values, we're using material that was written by a SEND missionary. And it includes a Bible story for the first 2 weeks. You teach a value over the course of 5 weeks, it's like the value of friendliness. So the first 2 weeks you'll teach a Bible story connected to that value. So maybe you'll teach about the relationship of Jonathan and David, and how Jonathan was a very faithful friend, and you need to be a faithful friend. And then David and Jonathan were close because they had the same values, and they honored their parents, and they were loyal to their country and so forth, and they loved God. And you need to do that as well. So that's how we teach the values. And then the third week will be a Filipino hero that maybe in some way showed that value, and then a folk tale that would show that value as well. But every week there's a Bible verse, so we're including scripture. And then we go, the kids get homework. They take the homework home, and they're supposed to have their parents sign the back of the homework. And so if the parents don't sign, we go and visit the homes, and we say, you know, have you noticed that we're sending this homework assignment home with your child? Have you seen it? Oh, no. I say, well, we send this every week, so look for the homework sheet. And then we tell them what we're doing. We're teaching values to your children. Oh, they say, our children need good values. Isn't that a great reaction? That's how the Filipinos react. They really appreciate, especially an American, taking the time to teach their child values and to want to help their family in that way. So it's a great way to build relationships. And we tell them the greatest value book is the Bible. And do you have a Bible? No. I say, well, if you would promise me you'll read it every day, I'll give you a New Testament. Would you do that? And sometimes, yeah, I can do that. So then I give them a New Testament. And then the next visit, oftentimes the second or third visit, we're sharing the gospel with them. And what an open door that is. So pray for that great, great program that we're using to get the the Bible and the gospel into these homes. So most Filipinos in our area, more than 90% are Catholic, and that can be a roadblock, but it can also be a blessing. I'm glad they're not Muslim. When I go to the people in our area and say, what do you think of the Bible? What is the Bible? Well, they'll say it's the Word of God. Oh, do you believe it's completely true? Yeah, I think it's true. OK, so then we start going into it. And sometimes they react and say, well, I don't believe that, you know, even though they say they believe it's true, that, you know, when you teach them some things, sometimes they don't believe that. But oftentimes they're like, oh, I didn't know that. So that's a great blessing to us that we can take the Bible and most Filipinos accept that the Bible is the Word of God. So that's something we don't have to really argue about. So pray that many souls will be saved and that the Lord will continue to guide us and direct as we carry on the work there. Pray for those we're reaching out to in the areas we're teaching values as well. We'd love to see plant churches in those areas as well. Pagasa means in English, it's hope. So you'll see in our prayer letters, the hope area. That's, we're teaching values there, and we're seeing, there's two families right now that we're working with there. And you saw them in the presentation, the Carreza family, Nestor and Margie are young, just a young couple. And they've got one child in our values class, the oldest, and pretty soon they'll have, you know, over the years, Lord willing, if we keep teaching in that school, we'll see another two of their children come through our values program. And so we'll have years to work with that family. So pray for the Carreza family or Carreza family. And then the other one was Nestor Nicario. He has so many relatives and hope. It's amazing in that area. And we've had numerous of his grandchildren in our values classes over the last 4 years that we've been teaching, and we'll have some more in the future, I believe, as well. So pray for Nestor. He was saved about probably about 6 months ago, I think it was. And while I was back, he's a farmer, and he was walking around, and I wanted to see him and talk to him. And his wife said he's in the field. So I saw him in the field. And so I started talking with him. And he said, what are you doing? Well, I said, I'm visiting parents. And so he came with me to the next parent. And a man was there, and I was able to share the gospel with him. So Nestor got to hear me share with that man the same message I had shared with Nestor a few months earlier. And I think it really encouraged Nestor's heart. And he was agreeing with me as I was sharing with the other guy. So pray for Nestor. He's got a family that there's a lot of problems in that family. But, you know, God uses problems to draw people to himself so often. So pray for the Nicario family as well. Does anyone have a question about what we're doing in the Philippines, about the Philippine culture, about ourselves, or any other question that I could answer for you tonight? Anyone? Over here. No. Right now I am, yes. But in the Philippines, we speak Tagalog. The first year we were in the country, we went to language school. And after language school, we're still poor on our Tagalog, but we've been there 19 years now. So now, if I don't know the Tagalog word, usually it's because there's no real Tagalog translation of the English. So they just will kind of Tagalog-ize the English word. So everything's in Tagalog. Our values classes, our Bible studies, everything. So when I was new down there, I made a lot of mistakes with my Tagalog, and Filipinos are nice and they don't want you to be ashamed or sad or whatever. So they don't tell you until about 10 years later some of the things you said. One time after at the end of the service when I was new down there, I said, you're dismissed. And that's English, and no one moved. And I thought, man, how do I say you're dismissed? So I said, basically what I said, if I translate it into English, I said, get out of here. So, but no one told me that, you know, until about 10 years later. They said, I remember when you were new here, you told us to get out of here after the service. I said, thanks a lot for letting me know so late. But anyway, but they have good laughs about what we were like when we were new down there. So any other questions? Wow, I answered all. Oh, here.
You mentioned that your husband, are you having a lot of problems with
we're not having problems where we're at. The Mindanao is, you know, Mindanao is closer to Indonesia than it is to Manila. And so there's a lot of Muslims there, and they want to break away from the Philippines. So that's been a big problem. They had a big problem with ISIS taking over a city down there. And a lot of soldiers, a lot of ISIS got killed, but a lot of Filipino soldiers got killed. So in their fight to stop that, eliminate the ISIS cell down there. So there's a lot of issues with Muslims down in the southern part. In our area, there are Muslims, and there's a growing population of Muslims. But so far, it hasn't been a problem. But I'm sure in the future, we'll have some issues. Actually, there's a Muslim that lives across the road from our church, and he was a Catholic and grew up Catholic and went over to Saudi Arabia and worked for about 15 years in Saudi Arabia and converted to Islam. And I've shared with him the gospel, and we've talked, and he's really friendly and nice to me, but he's a solid Muslim, so. So there is a Muslim presence, and it's growing. And there's a mosque in Naga where we live. So we're working in Pili, but Naga is very close to Pili. So we live in Naga and work in Pili. But there is a pretty good sized mosque in Naga. So, any other questions? I'm not sure. I've had things done in Naga. Like, I broke my shoulder the one time and had surgery there in Naga. So the health care is pretty good. I didn't have any problem. It was a lot cheaper. It's like $75 a night to be in the hospital. So, well, we have insurance through our mission board. So they will reimburse our expenses. So it's good. The health insurance company is very happy to have us treated in the Philippines. It's a lot cheaper on them if we get our treatment in Naga City than in Chicago or something like that, or anywhere here. So the health care is pretty good where we're at. Any other questions? Oh, yes, they're our best friends in the ministry. They're great, great helps. Maybe you noticed in the presentation we showed the marriage retreat, and our speaker was Brother Phil Kamibiashiyama, who's the director of Bob Jones. So we always have them. The Kamibiashiyamas or the Arnolds or the Berries and the Backricks are all up there. We'll have one of them in once a year for some activity over the course of the year. So, and then we'll go up to Manila maybe twice a year, once to renew our visa. And then they have some conferences. We'll go to at least one of those a year. So they're great. They're great missionaries. And we have a great relationship. They're all GFA. We're Baptist World, but we get along real well. So. Any other right here? In the morning at Calvary, it runs about 70, in the low 70s. At Faith, usually about 30. So, yeah. So what we do on Sunday at Calvary, we start at 8:30 with Sunday school. Have morning service about 9:45. That goes till about lunch, and then we'll all bring a sack lunch and eat at church, and then have a 1 o'clock service, 1 to 3:30. And then after that, we'll go soul winning. Some weeks we have a Sunday school teachers meeting. Other weeks we'll do other kinds of meetings. So sometimes we do more soul winning than that, but we do it at least once a month. And the reason is it costs so much to transportation's a cost. It's a hardship. It's cheap in our eyes, but I mean, if you take what they're making and what they have to spend if they have a family to get to church, it's quite expensive. So we don't want them to have to go home after the morning service and come back in the evening. And besides, transportation is it usually ends about 8 o'clock at night. So most of the transportation. So that's why we just do it all straight. So. Any other questions? Oh, yes, we do. But Wednesday they can get to church, but we have a good sized vehicle and the church has a vehicle, so we have to take them home because there's no transport. There's transportation between major towns and things like that, but our church is kind of south of town, a little out of town, so they can't, there's no transportation from there to get home. So. And we have activities for the young people on Friday night, so they can, if they get to church, we always take them home. So. It's terrific. We love it. It's just fabulous. I love those people. So. They're open to listen. It depends. It kind of depends. The teachers like us to teach in the public school because it gives them an hour off. They don't have to teach for an hour because we're teaching. The principal likes it because that, like, it's a social culture, so that really looks good, that someone from the outside is coming in and teaching values. So the principal likes us there. So, but once in a while there'll be a solid Catholic principal that won't like us. But we're not teaching a religion. It's illegal for us to teach a religion. We can teach the Bible, you can teach values, but you can't teach a religion. If I said, you know, talk to them about Baptist polity, for example, or invited them to our church, that's forbidden. We can't do that. But we can teach the Bible, because even the Muslims accept a lot of the Bible as true. You know, talking to Muslims, if you know anything or talk to them, you can use the Gospels. They accept the Gospels as true. They accept the prophets of the Old Testament as true. They don't accept anything that Paul says, but they do accept the Gospels and the prophets. So, and if you talk to them, if you know how to talk to them, and you refer to the Evangelion of Mateo, of Matthew, you know, then they're okay with that. So you have a way to witness to Muslims. But of course the Quran and the Gospels don't match. So any other questions back here? A good wage is about $300 a month. So a public school teacher would make about $300 a month. So that's a good wage. So a lot of them are farmers. We have a guy who owns a shop that they manufacture farm equipment. But what we call a hand tractor in the Philippines, it's like a garden tiller. It has a 7-horsepower diesel engine on it. And it's like a hand tractor. It's like a big tiller. That's what they use in the rice fields to cultivate it. So their farms are, you know, a big farm is about 5 hectares, which is 11 or 12 acres. That's a big farm. But everything's manual. So, you know, if you were doing it all manually, and you can plant and harvest 3 times a year. So that's still a lot of work. So you can basically plant and harvest all throughout the year, as long as you have irrigation. Because in the summer months, the rain will stop. But there's never a time when it's cold. So, any other questions? All right. We have about 10 more minutes. Let's just look at the last chapter of the Bible. The last chapter of the Bible. I've been preaching through the book of Revelation in our church in the Philippines. And so I'm at chapter 19 in the Philippines. And when I got back here, I've been working through the rest of the book. So I'm getting a little ahead for when I get back. And as I was reading chapter 22, what an awesome passage of scripture. So I'd like to share some thoughts from Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse number 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of the book of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And we just have a few moments, Lord, to look at these verses. But I pray that it be profitable to each one of us, that you work in our hearts and direct our thoughts this evening. So guide and direct in the things I'd say, that it be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So lately we've gone through a trial in our family with my mother-in-law. And we praise the Lord that she's with the Lord now, and that she knew the Lord and she was a blessing to others. We've gotten so many cards from people who knew her well, and she had an influence and impact on their lives that we didn't even realize. So what a joy that was, that she was a faithful believer. And now the suffering's ended and she's with the Lord in heaven. But as I noticed and as I came to realize that how short her time was that she had left, it was really a challenge to me. It made me think about my life. How long do I have left? How much more time do I have to serve the Lord? I'm 53 now. You know, my time could be up already. No one knows, right? No one knows what the future holds. But the fact is, our time is running out. Our time is short. And what I want to challenge you with tonight, as I've studied this book of Revelation, Revelation should not be a book we read and study so that we get a lot of knowledge so that we're smarter than other people about eschatology. It should be a book that challenges us. That's why it was written. It's written with a blessing to bless those who read and understand it and that do what it says. And it's a book to challenge us. And I've been challenged through this, that we need to be earnestly, regularly inviting other people to heaven. That's what we see in this chapter, chapter 22. And I see a number of reasons why we need to be earnestly, regularly inviting people to heaven. So I want to share a few of those reasons with you tonight. First of all, from the first five verses talk about the beauty and wonder of heaven. Heaven is an awesome, beautiful place. Verse 1 talks about this river of life that's going through, and the water is clear as crystal, and we'll be able to drink from that anytime we're thirsty in heaven. If we get thirsty, I don't know how that all is going to work. We don't know everything about heaven, but it's available for us. It's beautiful. It's like a beautiful garden. Heaven is an awesome place. And we see there's a fruit tree there, the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? But now it's in heaven. And anyone who's there, we can eat of that tree of life. Why? Because we have eternal life. It's a symbol of the fact that we're in heaven because we have eternal life. And so we'll be free to open. Take that fruit and eat of it and enjoy that delicious fruit there in heaven. But, you know, the verses 3 through 5, really the focus there is who's there in heaven. And it's not talking about that we see our relatives there. I'm sure we will and enjoy fellowship. But the best person in heaven is Jesus, right? And that's what this is about. Look at 3 through 5. He talks about the fact that God is there, that the Lamb is there, Jesus is there. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We're going to serve Christ in heaven. So heaven isn't a place where we're going to sit around and play harps. So heaven isn't a place where we're just going to praise the Lord only. It's not a place where we're going to be idle. It's a place of busy activity. It's a place where we're going to be able to serve Christ, and we're going to serve him in a perfect environment with perfect bodies that never wear out. I love serving in the Philippines, but, you know, oftentimes I get done with several Bible studies and I'm tired. I'm worn out. I need to go rest. Sometimes I'd like to do another Bible study. It's 8 o'clock already. The people are probably getting ready for bed. I'm going to have to stop for the day. But in heaven, there's no night. In heaven, we're not going to get tired. In heaven, we're going to be able to serve God perfectly, with a perfect body that never wears out in an endless day. What a joy. It's going to be a terrific place. And we can't even imagine how wonderful heaven is. But we're going to be in the presence of Jesus and of his Father. Verse number 4, it says, and they shall see his face. We're going to get to see the face of Christ. And his name's going to be written on our forehead. Of course, you probably know in the book of Revelation about someone getting marked on the forehead, right? Or on the palms of the hand. The Antichrist is going to mark his followers. He's going to put his name or his mark on people's foreheads or on their palms. But in heaven, we're going to have Christ's name on our forehead. Those who have the mark of the beast are those who belong to the beast, but we belong to Jesus. And we're going to have his name on our foreheads. What an awesome place. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We need to be earnestly inviting our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates to go with us to heaven. Because heaven is such a wonderful, awesome place. But secondly, we need to be doing it regularly because the time is short. The time is running out. Did you notice as I read earlier how many times the Bible says the time is short? Verse 6, the end of the verse. It says, And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The time is short. Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. The time is running out. Verse number 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. If you read other eschatological books like Daniel, the end of Daniel, you come to the end of Daniel, and Daniel in chapter 12, he says he's seen all these prophecies, all these visions. And Daniel says to the angel, what about this? And what about this? And tell me more about this. And the angel says, that's all for now. And Daniel says this in chapter 12. The angel tells Daniel, seal up the words, seal up the book. It's for the end times. But listen, we're in the end times. Revelation doesn't say seal up the books. The angel says, don't seal up the book. Right. Verse 10. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand and the time is running out. Let the unjust be unjust still, because there's hardly any time to get right. If you're not right with God, get right with God. The time is short. Your time is running out. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, because there's so little time. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Don't give up if you're righteous. The time is short. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Could you imagine you're living a holy life, but you get tired and because of temptation and hardship and because other people are trying to draw you away, you decide you give up. You stop your righteous, holy life. And then the next day Jesus comes and you've lost the reward. The time is short. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. Don't give up. Christ is coming quickly. We need to earnestly be diligently inviting others to go with us to heaven. Why? Because heaven is so wonderful. It's an awesome, beautiful place. Secondly, because the time is short. Thirdly, because outside of heaven are the wicked. Right. Verses 14 through 15. I'll let you read that later because I'm almost out of time. But let me get to the last point. The fourth reason is because God wants everyone in heaven. Right. God wants everyone in heaven. Look at verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star and the spirit and the bride say, come. We need to be saying, come. We're the bride. We need to be saying, come. And he says, and let him that heareth say, come. If you're listening to this message, we need to be going out and saying, come, come with me to heaven. Come with me to heaven. And no matter what the reaction is, I guarantee you the Spirit is saying, come. Nine days before Mom died, she got on hospice. And so hospice nurses and helpers, workers would come in. We try to share with them. And sad to say, they had hard hearts. One lady, Mary, just asked her a question, just trying to spark her interest. And the lady wouldn't talk to Mary after that. Hard hearted. Do you think the Holy Spirit wasn't working? The Holy Spirit was working. The Holy Spirit, you know, when you see someone that doesn't want to hear the message, maybe they don't like you because you're trying to share the gospel. Don't think the Holy Spirit isn't working. Their reaction is a revelation that the Holy Spirit is working, right? They're under conviction and they're fighting it. But don't give up. Don't give up. There's people here that still have open hearts. We tried to witness with a number of those people. And every one of them had a hard heart until the last one. After Mom died, a couple days later, they came to get the hospital bed. And that guy was open. It was neat. I started sharing with him and wow, it was clearly an open door. And I went right through the gospel with him while he was taking the bed apart. And we carried out the bed together. And His heart was wide open. A guy named Jay. And what a joy. When I got done sharing with Jay, he said, "Thanks for sharing with me what the Bible says." Isn't that neat? The Holy Spirit's working. And we need to be working. We need to be saying, "Come, come, come with me to heaven." You know, sometimes the message doesn't have to be a long message. Noah, his message probably wasn't long. He said, "It's going to rain. It's going to rain. God's going to judge the wicked. You need to repent because it's going to rain." Sad to say, no one listened. But the Bible says that Noah was a faithful preacher of righteousness, right? What about Enoch? Jude tells us Enoch's message. "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute his judgment on the unrighteous," right? We see that in Jude. It's not a long message, but that's his message. And our message needs to be, "Come, come with me. You need the Lord. You need the Lord in your life so you can go to heaven. Because heaven's a wonderful place. Because time is running out. And you don't want to be with those who are excluded from heaven. And God wants you in heaven." Isn't that a joy? No matter who you share with, you are assured from the scriptures that God wants that person in heaven. Right? God loves that person more than we do. He gave his own son to help that person get to heaven. So let's be regularly inviting others to go with us to heaven. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word and for this congregation. Thank you for their faithfulness in praying for us and giving to the work that we can be there and sharing and ministering to the Filipino people. But Lord, help us. We're going to be here another couple months. Help us to be faithful in inviting others to go to heaven with us. And I pray for this congregation that they'll this week reach out to their friends, their neighbors, their relatives, co-workers and classmates, that they can bring others with them and we not go to heaven alone. Everything on this earth that is ours will leave behind, but we could take souls with us. I pray we will. So work in a wonderful way in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.